Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, which we are each and every week. We're actually going on year three of this location, and we have a great relationship with Mark Ferguson, my good buddy. It is college football Saturday on this October 14th. Beautiful day down here. Nice breeze. We've got the Michigan watch party, Florida State watch parties. There's 100 televisions. If there's a game you want to watch today, come on down. And then, of course, tomorrow we've got our NFL lineup and a 425. It's the Bucks and Lions doing battle over at Raymond James Stadium. We're brought to you by Body Armor and, of course, Coca-Cola beverages each and every Saturday. And we just had a conversation with the Eckerd College Triton men's soccer team. And as I try to expand our coverage, we want to do all the colleges in the Tampa Bay area. And we're gonna launch it with the ladies. Ladies first. I'm an old man. I grew up with ladies first. And so we're gonna have the Titans. I just had Tritons. Now I got Titans. So if I fumble, stumble, and bumble about it, make sure, Coach, that you correct me like you do the girls in practice. And we are blessed to have them stop by on a busy Saturday. I guarantee you when you told the girls they got to come down here on a Saturday, not the best thing, favorite thing they wanted to do.
Oh, you know, there's nothing worse than coming down to Central and St. Pete. You know, it's gorgeous out, sun's out. You know, there's no better.
Hey, you got to talk to an old man for 15 minutes since Ben's not here. But I don't know a great deal about volleyball, but I love women's volleyball. I'm from the Midwest. I used to go to Iowa State and Nebraska games because I knew those coaches. And volleyball is so exciting at the women's level, and it just continues to evolve. And so let's introduce you, your bio, where you're from, and how you got to this point of leading the St. Petersburg College Lady Titans.
Yeah, so I am Grace Richmeyer. I'm the head coach at St. Pete College. I played Division I volleyball up in Rhode Island at Bryant University, and I coached club for years and then moved to Florida in 2020, where I started coaching at SJR State up in Palatka, Florida. From there, I went for 2 years and then went to Eckerd for a year before becoming head coach at St. Pete.
You were over at Eckerd?
I was for a year.
Were you?
Yes.
Yeah, I've had that relationship a couple years. Great campus over there. But now you got your own program. That's cool.
Yes, it's very exciting. And transitioning from the junior college level to the Division II level, I really miss junior college, so I love it. I think it provides great opportunities for a lot of athletes, so very happy to have the head coaching role.
I got to ask you this, Grace. In my generation, we call them JUCOs. Aren't we supposed to call them community colleges now to be, you know, appropriate?
So it is transitioning from junior college to state college. Just the term junior college has kind of a connotation of, like, lesser in terms of the academic.
And I don't like that.
Yeah, and that's why it's kind of transitioning away from the word junior.
Well, I've got two interns, Joe Geiger right there, and he's a freshman. He went to Boca Ciega, and he's going to end up going to Florida State, but he loves it over there, and it's a great transition period.
Exactly. It gives a lot of opportunities for kids that might not have financial capability or they need to stay home for a couple years. It's a really untapped market, in my opinion.
Well, you look like you're young enough to keep playing, or I'm just that old in observation these days. But I bet you relate with the girls really well.
Yes, I definitely think it's an advantage. Like, I just turned 27, and so
27?
Yes. And so
does she still have some game, girls? Does she? She does. She can still mix it up with you guys.
You should see her in practice, honestly.
I'll step in here and there if we don't have enough, but I feel like I'm in a good spot where I'm not too far removed from being in their shoes, being a student athlete, but also I have enough experience that I can help and develop them to move on to the next level.
Bravo. So let's introduce your assistant coach, and I think you're outnumbered here, partner. It's a good thing I didn't have any ladies on the mics today, because we'd really be outnumbered.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, so my assistant is Coach Cody Chernoff. I met him through just a local St. Pete volleyball community. He's been a great addition to our program. He came, I think, a couple of weeks after I got the role, and he does a lot here in the community. He owns his own club, so I'll let him touch on that a little bit.
Well, Cody, thanks for coming down and helping the ladies come down to Ferg's. As they said, not a bad place to come down. Very vibrant on a Saturday. But let's have your bio nice and loud into the microphone, and let us know where you're from, how you got involved, and how long.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, I'm Coach Cody Chernoff. I started volleyball here just about 8-9 years ago. Was a former Division I athlete at University of South Florida, where I was a track and field athlete.
My man, that was my deal at Western Kentucky 1,000 years ago. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Was a pole vaulter, so.
He's crazy. If he's a pole vaulter, he's crazy, girls. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Started coaching volleyball just out of college. Not a lot of opportunities for men's volleyball here in the state. So started a youth volleyball program here, South St. Pete Volleyball Club, or the Storm, where we work with underprivileged youth. And
I want to talk to you about that sometime off air.
Yeah, absolutely.
We like to help out there.
Yeah, so we started that program just a little over 4 years ago. Was lucky enough to meet Grace, like she said, just through the St. Pete volleyball community. Do a lot with the volleyball community here, and then we just kind of move forward, and super excited to work with these ladies and help them progress into their future roles.
How'd you make the transition from pole vaulter, D1 pole vaulter, decided that you had this passion for volleyball?
So I've always been involved in volleyball, had a volleyball court in my backyard my entire life, always playing. Actually helped out at the high school, was a high school manager during the football season.
You were the tall boy?
Yeah. No, I'm not a tall.
No, you're a tall boy when you were a manager?
Yeah, so I helped basically, what I kind of do with these girls sometimes in practice, step in, be a strong hitting approach for them, or do whatever the team might need.
Back in the day, it was towel boy and water boy if you were the manager. They give you a title. I think it's transitioned a little bit different in this era.
Yeah, more like the stat boy than the towel boy. Still kind of have that role here at St. Pete College. So.
You do analytics in volleyball now? Every sport has analytics.
Yes, it's a huge part of our program. We use a platform called Huddle, so the girls get a breakdown between every game, and we could do it for practice too, of every time they touch the ball, every kill, every dig, every air, every set. So it's really valuable for them, especially as a two-year school. They can go through and see all their stats and get the film and send it off to bigger programs. So it's a really good recruiting tool too.
Now, when you're facing an opponent, are the analytics that valuable in the heat in the moment?
100%. So
really?
It helps us prepare and practice, seeing their defensive systems, what they like to do offensively, who their hot hitters are. A lot of times teams have like one or two hitters that are their go-to, so you really see their tendency and then plan our defense and practice around that.
Man, analytics have taken over the modern day of sport. I know it is really prevalent in baseball, but I never envisioned that it would the only place is not analytics, my man, is in the pole vault, with the exception of speed and height and strength, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, why don't we introduce the ladies here from left to right, from my left to right. Nice and loud, young lady. Why don't you do the introductions, Coach?
All right, first we have Kalina Bex. She is a freshman setter from East Lake, Florida. And then we have Taylor Tran, who is also a freshman setter from St. Petersburg. And then we have Annika Johnson, but she goes by AJ, and she is from Orlando, Florida, and she's a freshman middle blocker.
So you're all rookies, and you girls knew the area. How do you like coming over from Orlando to the St. Pete area?
Well, I mean, I've been traveling my whole life, so adaptation to new areas is not very new to me. But honestly, it's a really good step out of what I'm used to, because I've been living here for about 5 years. So coming to the beach and living here all the time has been really nice.
Yeah, it's not a bad place to live. And I'm sure it wasn't too tough for you guys to transition down here either. Well, you're rookies, but what's your favorite memory so far of life at St. Pete?
My favorite memory so far, I would say, is honestly meeting all of these new girls. And originally, I wasn't planning to play volleyball, so I was like, okay, I'm getting this opportunity to play and meet new people. So meeting all of my teammates and making new friends and creating all these bonds has been my favorite memory so far.
Well, and you know what? And you know this through athletics, even though you're very young, I can tell you my age. You're going to form these bonds, and they're going to be lifetime bonds. You never forget your teammates, their quirkiness, their how funny they were when they were there during, you know, tough times. You guys are away. You're not too far away. None of you are that far away from home, but you still, it's nice to have, the coaches are, it's nice to have someone to, you know, maybe cry on a shoulder from time to time and share your responsibility, you know, the challenge ahead. How about you, young lady?
I did track and field after my volleyball season because I thought I wasn't going to go anywhere for it. And then Coach Grace reached out to me, and it just felt like God gave me a new path to start a new chapter in my life. So I took it, and it was the best decision I definitely took.
So you can relate to Coach here. You're a track person, and it transitioned to volleyball as well.
Yeah, I worked really hard to, like, see where I could go for track, and then I just still had the love for volleyball, so just had the opportunity to try it again, and now I'm here.
You know, another thing, Coach, all of you, volleyball is one of those sports that you can play in. Even my old carcass, I live down by the beach, and I'm occasionally out there falling on my face first, having some fun with my neighbors, or playing a little volleyball. It's a great sport from that perspective, a lifelong sport.
Absolutely, and there's different variations of it as you get older. So there's indoor, there's co-ed, there's reverse co-ed, there's grass, there's beach.
What is reverse co-ed?
So it has different rules where essentially the guys can't hit, or they have to hit from the back row, and the girls can hit from back row.
So for some balance.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha. Well, I'd need any of it in my advantage, I assure you that. Yeah, you can't exactly go out in the backyard with your buddies and pole vault these days, can you?
No, absolutely not.
No, I think it'd be a little dangerous. All right, how about you coming over from Orlando? What's the thing that was the coolest for you so far?
Honestly, seeing all the new places around here, like, I've never been here before. So being
You've never been to St. Pete, Tampa?
Never. So, like,
well, you got Disney World. What else do you need, right?
Honestly. But, like, seeing all the new, like, seeing everything for what it is, and, like, experiencing, like, a new city, making new friends, like, all of this, I don't know, really helped me, like, broaden that perspective of, like, honestly, life.
You might have a future in communications.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I'm trying.
I might have to convince you to be one of my my first female interns.
I'd love that.
Well, grab my card. We'll be looking, because we cover all the girls and the boys in the high school world. And I'm trying to, as I did up north, trying to nurture kids that want to get into communications. And that means Florida State just scored a touchdown.
Oh, nice.
Well, yeah, if you're a Florida State fan. Yeah, this is their headquarters during games. Upstairs is Michigan, obnoxious, but I'm an Iowa fan, so. And then we have a few little pockets for the USF Bulls from time to time. All right, Coach, so let's talk about your conference and the rebuilding process of what you're going through over there at St. Pete with the Titans, the challenge ahead.
Yeah, so we're in a very competitive conference. We're in the Sun Lakes Conference, and we have a lot of ranked teams through the years in the conference, which is huge.
And who's in the conference, and what's the regional, just the state of Florida?
So, yeah, all the schools in the conference are within Florida. There's a North and South Division. We are in the South Division, so we play Palm Beach, Pasco Hernando, South Florida, and one other school. But then we have crossover matches with the North Division. So State College of Florida is the other one in our conference. So we get a chance to play them home and home, and then the crossover games we get to play home, and then it flips the next year to away.
So during the course of the season at these events, will there be representatives from Division One schools looking, or today's world, they just shoot the footage, the analytics, and maybe Zoom call them? Do they still travel to recruit at junior college level as they have in the past in other sports that I'm aware of?
Definitely. So in my experience, both like at the D1 level as an athlete and then being at Eckerd as a D2 program, a lot of those schools want to transfer kids that played at junior colleges. A big reason for that is they've proven themselves. They can hang academically, they can handle it athletically, and it's less of a risk than a freshman who might struggle being away from home or struggle balancing school and athletics. So it's very beneficial, and I know within my first like 2 weeks of getting the job at SBC, I got probably 5 to 6 emails from coaches looking for transfer students from junior college programs. So there's definitely a high demand for it and high need for it that I don't think a lot of prospective student athletes realize.
All right, let's squash this. And it's inaccurate. It wasn't back in the day, because I had a lot of friends that went the JUCO route that didn't like the classroom. But typically they say that the people that attend these schools just don't have the grades to get into Division One or Division Two programs. That's BS, isn't it?
It definitely is, yeah. So grades are a big component for any state college program. It's very important to us. Like, we do biweekly grade checks, and I tell the girls all the time.
She's tough on that, girls.
They understand that for them to move on at the next level and transfer, the second question coaches are going to ask is, what's her GPA? So it's very important that we keep that up. And sometimes they can get half athletic money out of program and then half academic.
Yep.
So it's very important to keep that, 3-2 and above.
I tell that to kids all the time. And over the 30 years doing this, I have helped a lot of kids get into NAIA, D2, D3. And I always remind the guy who's a tremendous athlete, I don't have to worry about a thing. I go, yeah, you do. And you can get money, at Division II, half academic. You can get a full ride, but you can't get all athletic. And they don't understand that. So the academic element of it does play a big role in it, for sure. If she was your guys' big sister, which, she's only 7 years older, would you listen to her as a big sister, you think?
I think the fact that she can relate to us is a big thing, like, off the court. Because it's caused for a lot of, like, really great memories and, like, great conversation. But there's still that aspect of, like, respect. Because, like, obviously she knows what she's doing, and she's doing it for a while.
Well, she's moving up fast in the world of
exactly.
coaching.
So, I don't know, that, like, respect we have for her is, like, a really big component in our team.
All right, well, I've got you on the mic, because I'm going to go do the show, all three of you. Anybody at home you want to do a shout-out to?
Probably my parents for getting me this far and, like, really convincing me that, like, college volleyball is, like, for me and I have the talent to. My sister, my girlfriend, all of those people really push me to be who I am today.
What are mom and dad's names?
Red and Iggy Johnston.
All right. Well, now you've got a vibrant young lady here.
Fun fact, too, they both were state college athletes, both of her parents.
Oh, they were?
My dad played at Valencia when they still offered athletics. I'm not sure exactly where my mom played JUCO basketball at. They both play basketball.
So you got some genetics in your family.
Absolutely.
All right. Who you want to do a shout-out to at home when they're listening to this?
I definitely want to do a shout-out to my parents. Both of them have brought me so far, and my dad was actually the one that introduced me to volleyball. So without both of them, I wouldn't be where I am today. And along with that, my grandparents, they're a very big part of my life as well.
Well, you're blessed then. Your parents' names?
T and Mickey Tran.
Well, all of you have great children here that I'm talking to, young ladies. How about you, young lady? Well, I wasn't going to forget you. It'd be nice if I turned your mic on. Mic on the mic is not smart.
I would like to shout out my parents, Suzanne and Sean Bex. My mom introduced me to volleyball when I was like 4 years old. I've always been on a court because of my older sister. So just both of them pushing me and showing me like that they're very proud of me, it really helps me.
All right, your generation, are you guys all Swifties?
No.
No.
Good answer. Oh my God, you just hit it out of the park.
They're too busy watching film to be into all that.
Please, Coach, tell me you're not.
Definitely not.
All right. And if you tell me, you're never coming on the air again. Well, I really appreciate you guys. Reach out to me. We'll stay in constant communication. We'll get you guys involved in our social media with my two St. Pete College interns, Joe and Gavin. They do a superb job. And if you do hear of any young ladies or you seriously would be interested in examining what we do here, these guys have their own podcast and they do the social media. I just want to develop them and give them opportunities to grow. So I appreciate you coming down, taking time. You and I could talk track and field for hours. All of my teammates back in the day, we were like number three in the country, were international. But the pole vaulters were the craziest. They were the guys that your mom would tell you to stay away from. But not this cat. I can tell he's a good man. Thanks again for coming down. All right, ladies, thank you for coming down. I enjoyed this, and you guys just you just broke the ice now of getting young ladies on the show. And we need to do more of this. So you're pioneers at the Sports Connection.
We love it. Thank you so much for having us.
All right, have a great weekend. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk Northside Christian. Their football program's in the house, and Brad Richardson talking a little high school football. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, if I could talk, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
Halftime's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. With the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios, inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Tampa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the peewees to the preps to the pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub. Yeah.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on a spectacular Saturday. Nice cool breeze down here. College football Saturday. Florida State's already kicked off. Michigan's upstairs. We got 101 televisions down here at 13th and Central. If you got a college game that you want to watch, come on down. We'll find it for you at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And then a little shout out for our simulators now. We've got two golf simulators upstairs, our 19th hole clubhouse studios. I do my golf show up there each and every Thursday from 5 to 7 right here on our flagship 106.1 101.1 FM, and of course, our streaming channel, FloridaSportsStream.com. All of our high school conversations are brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, and of course, Coca-Cola Beverages and the U.S. Marines and Northside Christian and my neighbors. They're my neighbors up.
You can hear everything, Mike. As you said, you can hear the
games.
We're
a bunch of 1,000-year-olds across the street, and these guys are young and vibrant, so it's great to be able to hear the band. And my rickety old carcass walks out there and listens. But great to bring him down here today. Of course, Doug, the basketball coach, I love having him on. And we do a high school basketball tournament up there. And we on the call, and that's during the holiday break. We're looking forward to that this year as
definitely
well.
Definitely another fun time again once basketball rolls around. It's going to be great. And media day's coming up too, Mike, for basketball, right?
It's going to be Tuesday down here upstairs from 6:30 to 8:30. It's media day for Sunbash. We got 16 of the premier teams in the region, as well as Charlie Ward will bring down his Florida University High School team, a team from the Bronx and a team from New Orleans. So it's Doug Skoll and the people do a superb job. Chris McCain. They all just kick butt when they put on the Sunbash. And Ferg's and Sports Connection and Body Armor are our proud sponsors. And now he's my man on the mic. He is the voice of Seminole football. Another rough night last night, brother.
We won't go into that just yet.
No, we won't go into that at all. He's Brad Richardson. And why don't we start out with conversations with the fellas since they've been here.
Already.
Then we'll get the scores after that.
Absolutely. So welcome to the show today is none other than the Northside Christian Mustangs. So it's time to meet the guys. We're going to start at the very end. Guys, go ahead and say your name, position you play, and what year you are in school. Start off, man.
I'm a senior, Blake Van Wormer. I play linebacker, running back, a little bit of tight end.
Definitely, man. Speak up a little bit. Speak up a little more so we all can hear you. A lot of loud games going on. Go for it.
Cody Hubbard, class of 2024, defensive end, and a little bit of linebacker.
Awesome. Go ahead.
Blaze Reynolds, senior. I play safety and some tight end.
And finally, the man himself down here, the man who runs all. Introduce yourself, sir.
Yeah, my name is Bailey Granier. I'm the head coach of the Northside Christian Mustangs.
All right, well, guys, thank you for being down here today on a Saturday. You guys had a big, big homecoming game last night, by the way. Win 23-2, if I recall correctly. And just real quick, for everyone's listening, was any of you guys on homecoming court last night?
None of us, but we did have some seniors and some freshmen on the homecoming court.
Awesome. Did any of the guys on the team win homecoming king?
Yes, we had one senior win.
Who was the one that won?
Zuri Watson.
Zuri Watts, okay. All right, so I got to, you know, with any of you guys on this team, I just got to know this real quick. Did any of you guys, are you multi-sport athletes and all?
I actually play a total of three sports. I go from football to soccer season, and then I play lacrosse.
Awesome. Wow, definitely a multi-sport athlete. So, Blaze, real quick, for all that's listening out there, I was told before this podcast that you have a nickname. Please tell us on air, what is your nickname and the origin of that?
I got the nickname Lightning McBlaze for my I had a 40-yard touchdown reception that my mom posted on Facebook with the caption, Lightning McBlaze.
Your mom did?
My mother did, yeah.
Bravo.
and it stuck. It stuck all the way. So,
good job, Mom.
Absolutely. So, you know, Coach, I just got to say this real quick. You know, with these guys, obviously, we just talked about multi-sport athletes. But there's some talents from some of your players that you don't expect. And, guys, you could chime in on this. I want to talk about your one center on this team, none other than Jameson Jensen, if I recall correctly. How did that come about when this young man was able to sing the national anthem? Did you know about this? Were you aware of the talent that this guy had?
Yeah, when I first got to Northside, I was able to go to a production in which Jameson was one of the leading roles, and he did a phenomenal job. He sang the national anthem for us for our spring game, and I think as well for the first game of the season before the band was really ready to go. And he's extremely talented, but we're talented across. We've got a diverse group of students. We've got a senior that's a class president, school president. We have got other guys that are involved in the arts, lead trumpet, guys that are getting recognized for a lot of different things. And so we've got a really, really cool, diverse group of student athletes.
Absolutely. And you got to be, I mean, they have to put a lot of time in. It's a lot of multitasking that you guys have got to do and all. So, all right. So just go back to the game real quick last night. Obviously, a 23-2 win. So the one thing I didn't notice, 2 points just on the board for American Collegiate, right? Yeah, correct. I had to make sure that's been a long day. Anyway, so what happened? It was obviously a safety from what I can tell. Just replay that real fast just so we all can understand what happened. This was in the first quarter, right?
Yeah, second offensive drive of the game. Had a negative play in which the snap was over the head in the next play. Just a really well-timed play and a bad operation in the backfield, unfortunately, and caused a safety. So, but defensively, it was a shutout. Offense gave up two.
All right, so guys, we're going to go down the line here real quick, starting with Cody and all that. Tell me, what's been one of the highlights for you this season with going on? Is there any game that sticks out in particular, key moment, something that would be posted on anything social media, Twitter, Insta, whatever? What would you say been one of your biggest highlights?
Probably this game. You know, I feel like this game I had a pretty good game. I had a couple of good TFLs, big tackles. A couple other games I had some big plays. Fourth down against Sefner. I had a pass deflection on the line of scrimmage, which was a fourth and goal, a pretty pivotal moment in the game. So, yeah.
Definitely turned the tables on a lot of stuff. Hey, Blake, all the way at the other end. What about you? Big highlight this season.
I'd say my best game so far has been the game against Community School in Naples. I think I had about 95 rushing yards.
And 95? Wow.
And I had a few TFLs also. I think I had like four. So I think that was, even though we lost, I think that was probably my best game.
I mean, that's probably on Huddle, and that was taken off Huddle, right? Put somewhere, Instagram, Twitter, yeah. Facebook?
Yeah, I did post it on Instagram also.
All right, and real quick, Lightning McBlaze, that one that you had on
Lightning
Facebook,
McBlaze.
Was that one of the big
rest
ones?
Rest of your life, brother.
Yeah, that was probably my biggest play of the season so far. You know, I honestly, coming into senior year, I never thought I'd even touch the ball. So that for me was huge.
Surprise, surprise, for of course. So Coach, coming into this team this year, obviously, you know, this is a different experience, different team that you're coming into. When you got this team, when you became the head coach and all, what were some of the goals that you wanted to just set in order to make this a successful season? Because so far, it is a success that you've had. At one point in the season, you were undefeated. This is success I'm seeing so far. So what were some of the goals that you brought to these guys and wanted to instill to make this team a continued success?
Yeah, I think that ultimately, the goal for these guys is to give everything they have for this program, right? And I think that often is what these guys exemplify. And these three guys sitting next to me are a prime example of that, right? And you want to set really tangible goals and win games. You know, our goal next week is to win the district championship. We got a big game against Indian Rocks Christian, right? But I think that continually getting better is about what this program is about. And if we want to get where we're going, we got to continue to take steps forward. And you got to continue to lay bricks. All right. We got to continue to build on our foundations that we've created. But, you know, one of the biggest challenges that I've given these boys is to become really strong and effective leaders. And I think these guys are continuing to step up on that. And these guys have been asked to do a lot of different things. If you look at this group of guys, they're representing 8 to 9 to 10 probably different positions on the field. Collectively, Cody's played linebacker, defensive tackle, defensive end, tight end, fullback. Blaze has played tight end, fullback, linebacker, safety, defensive end. Blaze has played linebacker, running back, quarterback, tight end. I mean, these guys have done a variety of things that we've asked them to do. And just buying in and just trusting the process and just being in the moment and getting better, I think is what's been about. And I think you got the buy-in, the commitment. And these guys see what they can be. They understand what they can be. And it's been really cool to watch that.
You got a bunch of utility players.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like he was saying, you got to be a little flexible in order to get the outcome just right, to get that win and all. So, as you just mentioned, Indian Rocks Christian next week, big district game. And, guys, I've been covering sports here in Pinellas County a long time for high school. That is always a rivalry game, both football and baseball. I will say that. Coach, just real quick. Is there a different kind of mindset that you have to have going into a district game as opposed to any game that you play in the county? What has to be done differently going into a district matchup?
I mean, it's just a mentality. It's a mentality, and it's a mentality I think we have. I think if you look at how we played St. Pete Catholic, that's the mentality we're looking for, right? I think we know who we are. I think we know who we can be, and I think that when we go out and play to be who we are, right, you're going to see the success. You're going to see who the Northside Mustangs are. And this game's personal, right? It's personal in the fact that these guys are desiring the same thing we want. And if you look at the outcome from last year, these guys are going to be fired up and they're going to be ready to play. But so are we.
Absolutely. And, of course, the district championship, of course, is on the line for that. All right. So, guys, real quick, a lot of teams I've talked to, Christian schools, Catholic schools and all that, they usually have like a Bible verse and all that that they live by, which defines the season. It gives you hope and inspiration. I just got to know, anybody here can answer in on this. Is there one that you guys live by that, even Coach, you can instill, you can chime in. Is there anyone that you guys live by for your season and all that you personally have?
He's putting you guys on the spot.
Hey, come on, Lightning. Come on, Lightning McBlaze.
Hey, honestly, there's a lot of verses I feel like we live by. The team is almost faith-driven, I'd say, and Coach is a big part of that. Not going to say that's part of the job, but he's almost more than a coach. He's a spiritual mentor and everything. So, yeah, we live by a lot of good faith values on that team, you know, with brotherhood.
Absolutely.
Great answer.
Great answer and all that. So, go ahead, Coach. Yeah, sorry about that.
Good one. So, I mean, James 1:9 is a great one for us, and I think it speaks a lot to who we want to be and what we want to be about. It's blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for he will receive the crown of life. Right, and that's what we talk about over and over again. When adversity hits, who are you going to be? Right, what are you going to be? And this team has shown who they're going to be and what they're going to be. Right, and we're going to continue to get better and grow in that. We're going to go through some adversity this week. Right, we're going to change identity a little bit offensively. Right, and so I think given that, right, we're going to see how we handle trial, and we've got some different pillars and some things we've talked about, but these guys have shown like what it means to be a man. We talk about Psalms, right? Your faith over your fear, right? Right, putting your faith over your fear. Another one that I just love, and that we're really blessed. We've got a coach who's also the lead pastor at our church, Dr. Chad Scarborough, who's a father of a senior and an eighth grader on the team, and he's been a phenomenal spiritual mentor for these guys as well. And all that being said, I'm blessed to have him as a resource to help continue to grow these guys spiritually. But you know, we talk about like, if I have a God that is for me, how could any man stand against me, right? And I think when the kids and being they have bought in to the spiritual component of this, right, they could accomplish so much more than if they just rely on who they are in the flesh.
Bravo, Coach. I'm going to ask my goofy question.
Oh, yeah, and, here you go, guys. Get ready. You're going to be on the spot for this one.
Well, two things. Do a shout-out to anybody at home you want to.
I like to shout out my mother.
What's mom's name?
Jessica.
Yeah, I always got to do that first, brother. Just remember that. I always take care of mom. And then, got a girlfriend?
I do.
Better do a shout out to her.
Shout out Haley. Haley Summers.
All right, young man. Shout out to anybody at home.
I want to shout out Heather Hubbard, my mother, and then Mama Ruffin. She takes care of me too, so them too.
Girlfriend?
No, sir.
That's normally, that's the answer I like to have at your young age, but anyway. So, young man?
I'd like to give a shout out to my mother and father, Kathy and Craig Reynolds, and my three sisters, Adriana, Alana, Anastasia, and my two nephews.
They keep you in line.
Yeah. My two nephews, Andrew and James.
Hey, girlfriend?
No, sir.
See, coaches don't mind that, especially during the season. They don't need diversions. But I'm sure you had 90-some yards. It's a positive for you, young man. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. And actually, Mike, I think Coach over here needs to do a shout-out as well, if you don't mind, Coach, right now. Who's your shout-out going to be?
Yeah, I'll say hello to any of my family watching at home and then my wonderful fiance, Nicole.
And the big day for you is when?
December 16th.
Congratulations, sir, and all that. Oh, Mike, you forgot something. So, starting all the way down at Mr. Blake, favorite college football team?
I like everyone.
Oh, come on.
I watch any game, really. I grew up kind of as a Florida fan, but I like every team.
All righty. Blake, Cody. Cody, what about you?
I like Michigan Wolverines.
They're upstairs. Go up there with your brother. They're up there right now. We got a watch party. 50 of you nuts up there. I'm just kidding. I'm a Hawkeye fan.
All right, please. Come on.
My three sisters are USF alumni, so I have to say, go Bulls.
Go Bulls, right here, alumni as well. So, all righty. So, obviously, it's going to be a very good week coming up for you guys. Obviously, a lot of mental stuff going into this game, as Coach mentioned and all. So, just finally, congrats on a great season going so far. Coach?
Welcome. Also, you guys didn't welcome me to the neighborhood when I moved in July 1. There was no... I told Mike I ran into him at the health food store. I said, hey, the neighborhood went to hell. I said, I moved right across the street from Northside, and he laughed. But, yeah, I'll have to come over and watch you guys.
Oh, yeah, come check us out anytime, man.
I definitely will.
We've got one more home game left this year against OCP, week 11.
It's a long drive for me. I'll hop the fence. I'll get over there.
All right, that's good.
Good luck, guys. Appreciate you coming down.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming on the show. Great job last night. Great homecoming game win. You guys have the dance tonight, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, treat the ladies
be
with respect.
Be safe. That's all I got to say
be
as an old man.
And treat
be
the ladies safe. With respect, obviously. So.
Will do.
They don't need preaching from you, champ.
Hey.
Thanks, guys, for coming down. Thanks coach, so for much. Bringing them down.
Thanks.
Coach, thank you. Cody, Blaze, and Blake for coming down here, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Have fun tonight. Have fun.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, let's get caught up on just a few scores, and then I got to talk a little. I got a new sponsor. I got to talk a little Bucks with Ray Kennedy.
Absolutely. All righty. So, quick show notes. Last night, Calvary Christian hosted the Clearwater Tornadoes. Final score 27-3 as the Warriors would take the win. Calvary will host Lakeland Christian Spartans next week. Clearwater will be back at home and hosting the East Lake Eagles. Big game last night, Steinbrenner versus Palm Harbor. District game for both teams. Palm Harbor currently the number 2 in Class 4 in District 6. Steinbrenner right behind them at number 3. Palm Harbor narrowly controlled the first half, 14-6 going into halftime. Steinbrenner cut the second half, and they would have a 25-22 lead. Would not be enough for Palm Harbor as Steinbrenner would take the 32-22 win. Next week, the Hurricanes will be at Seminole. Speaking of my own Warhawks and all that, senior night last night at Warhawk Stadium. District game for both teams, so Seminole and Largo. Largo would score each quarter, standout moments from Malachi Peterson, but also want to give a quick shout out to Latyrian Jones on Seminole. A lot of rushing yards for him last night. Warhawks, of course, not able to score. Final score 34-0. Another win for Largo. Of course, the Warhawks will be on the road facing Palm Harbor. Largo will be hosting the Lakewood Spartans next week. Osceola versus Countryside. Our own Ray Kennedy is in the house right now as his son is an Osceola Warrior. Big district game last night for Osceola and Countryside. Osceola 2-4 going into the game. Countryside 2-5, both needing a win for the Class 3M district standings. Osceola would get on the board in the first and holding the 10-0 lead going into halftime. Touchdown just separating both teams. Score remained the same in the third quarter. Countryside tried to make a comeback in the fourth, but it was not enough with the final score in Osceola's favor, 13-10. Countryside had a game scheduled against River Ridge Pirates. Game was canceled, but instead they will play the Green Devils this coming Friday at home. Osceola will host the DeSoto County Bulldogs. St. Pete versus Pinellas Park. Final score, the Green Devils 17, Pinellas Park 10. Get this, Mike. CCC was scheduled to play Cambridge Christian this week, but unfortunately they had to forfeit. Marauders are still undefeated at 8-0. They are also number 8 in the state of Florida right now. So that's fantastic for them. They, of course, will be playing another Sefnik Christian coming up next week. Honorable mentions this week. Lakewood finally getting another win, 21-12 over the Gibbs Gladiators. Spartans will be on the road to Largo next week to face the Packers. Hollins versus Northeast. Final score 41-0 as Northeast will take the win. Other scores. Clearwater Academy 35-33 win over Sarasota Riverview. Academy of Lakes 34-20 win over Canterbury. Shorecrest, 8-man football here. Shorecrest 44, Sarasota Christian 44-8 win for the Chargers. Northside Christians, we need to talk to them. A homecoming game. Final score 23-2 as Northside will take the win over American Collegiate. Indian Rocks Christian will fall to New Surma Beach 35-14. Lakeside Christian will take the win 52-6 over the City of Life Christian. East Lake 42-7 win over Sickles. And finally, Keswick Christian would take a 40-21 win over First Academy.
Great job by Brad Richardson. Of course, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor and, of course, Coca-Cola Beverage. Great job bringing Northside Christian down as well. And looking forward to our call. Well, I'm going to get you a different color guy. I'll be there from time to time. And I don't want to step on you again. You did a superb job for the Sunbass tournament last holiday season. And we'll have the media day down here on Tuesday, the 24th. Upstairs, we'll have all the teams from the Sunbass here at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill. Now our good friend at Shrimpy's Waterfront, that's John. John, he sponsors our conversations with the Big O, Oscar Garner III. But Rick Kennedy reached out to me, and I thought that I would bring him down. We haven't seen you forever because you're doing what all of us love to do, and that, of course, is follow your son. And nothing better than that, my man.
I'll tell you what, and Pee Wee's prep to the pros. We talk about from the local level all the way on up, and it actually becomes when you've got more skin in that game, you realize just how important our prep athletics are here in the local Bay Area.
Well, they're important for our youth, but they're also important for the parents because it re-energizes you, brings back those memories. It's something to do healthy on a Friday night, and you develop friendships with the other parents, and it becomes part of your social fiber.
Well, I back right into it. I'm the voice of the JV Warriors. Five in a row they've won now. They won Wednesday night. They had a home game versus Gibbs. And, of course, last night, got off UPS, got up to Countryside. I'm running up. I could see the game was already over. I wasn't sure. I saw two of the Cougars coaches walking toward the parking lot. I said, is the game already over? They said, yeah, and I didn't know what to expect. I said, how'd it go? He said, oh, it was a really great game, but, yeah, Osceola pulled one out 13-10, and I didn't even glut on him. I wasn't going to rub it in, but I walked away with a smile on my heart and a smile on my face.
Hey, let's talk a little NFL since it's we don't do that normally, but we've got a new show called Big Monday down at Sea Dogs each and every Monday, and it's Big O and the Axeman. They're on from 6 to 8, and they talk all things NFL, MLB, and of course college football. The guys are they're knocking it out of the park. But let's talk. You're the expert in the Bucks world. They take on the Detroit Lions tomorrow, 4:25 first kick. This place will be jam packed. And your analysis on the battle of division leaders.
Well, I think nobody saw the Bucks at 3-1 coming in after the bye week against Detroit. We know Detroit last year. We know Campbell what they're doing up there. He likes to bite them in the knees on the way down and bite them in the knees on the way up. But 3-1 going into this game. You got big games still coming up against the Bills. You got the Falcons next week. The Niners are down the road. But let me tell you about this game right here. The reason why the pressure, I think, is a little more on this game, and we're going to see what Buccaneer team. We've seen mostly the positive team, but now the first flexed game of the year, the NFL flexes this game from 1 o'clock back to 4:25 because they're like, wow, two of the best NFC divisional teams, let's put this on. So the Bucs have the game is flexed. Now go ahead and throw on top of it. It's a throwback game with the creamsicle uniforms against a former divisional opponent when you were in the NFC Central up through 2001, and now you put a little more pressure on. So it's not a win or lose. It's not a make or break game for the Buccaneers in 2023. But what you're going to see is so far out of the blocks, how wrong was the national media when they had this team competing for Caleb Williams? Or how right have Bucs fans been when we've said, look at us now. We always knew we were here. We had no problem with this. The only thing I see going into this game that's a trap is that the Buccaneers, if their defense and Todd Bowles go back to the zero blitz against the Rams 2 years ago in a divisional game in the playoffs against the Rams, got a problem with the play action. We rely on this defense to stop the run. The defense stops the run, it makes an offense more one-dimensional. But if the run is successful, then we got to watch out for the pass action. And Jared Goff, he can do some play action.
Well, you know what? Being a Green Bay Packer fan, I've watched the battles going back to back in the day of Alex Karras, and I mean I could go back in the '60s and give you their lineups. I like this Lions story only because I love their coach and his passion.
And, you know, we were talking about this. I had a guy on the other night, good friend of mine, Brendan. He's from Michigan, born and raised, and he's down here now working, but he's still a Lions fan. I'll tell you what, though, Mike, I'll give you this. He's got family. They flew in today. He's got about 8 family members flew in from Michigan today. He said the plane they were on was all Hawaiian blue. The people are partying. They're getting ready. It's going to be a large contingent of
I just had 8 Michigan fans that are here. They're at the watch party, but they flew in for the game, too, because it's going to be it's kind of like the Eagles. You get a little nervous on the number of butts in the seats that don't have the creamsicle.
But you see, that's the thing, though. These are the Johnny-come-latelys, Mike, because I've lived here since 1972. I don't get nervous. We are a destination for tourism. That's one of our biggest things, tax-free income state. So you're talking about the Lions fans. Don't forget, when these tickets went on sale, the national media had these Bucks in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. They were supposed to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. But guess what? They're not. But there are going to be some Lions fans tomorrow, but the Buccaneers have to represent.
Well, and I think the more you start watching, even MLB, you know, Phillies, home field advantage is an advantage. So I certainly hope that they're loud and proud tomorrow at Raymond James.
there's going to be some tears. There's going to be some memories. We go back to when, you know, the people couldn't stand the color of these creamsicles. They said, you got to get rid of them. We got new uniforms. But you know what? Hardy Nickerson came in here in 92 and all of a sudden started turning this franchise around. He made this the thing again. I'm just glad here in 2023 that we accept the fact that you got to know where you came from to appreciate more where you're going.
Rich in tradition. Programs, I don't care if it's the collegiate, the pro level, the high school level. Programs that are rich in tradition are successful.
And the Buccaneers are now a third generational team here in Tampa Bay. The Rays are only a second. They got a minute to go. Sternberg in a new stadium. They got to figure out a way to market it. But yeah, the Buccaneers are third, fourth generation. And own your history, because that's what makes you rich.
Now tomorrow, the Bucs, for the most part, are pretty healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you still have, you're keeping an eye on Mike Evans with the hamstring, although usually he was hamstrings in camp. Everybody coming back. When the schedule first came out, everybody said they gave us the bye week in week five. This is ridiculous. But now, with this game against Detroit, having that bye week ends up probably being the best of all things.
Well, your prediction tomorrow?
Bucks 27-24.
27-24. Bucks. Geez. Your prediction, my man.
I mean, I'll say, I'm obviously the Bucks are going to take the win. I'll say 27-20. I'll say that.
I like that even better.
I say 27-20. I'll be honest about something.
I like the way that the Bucks defense is playing these days, and in Detroit, I like the way they play. The only reason that I like Detroit, because you know the University of Iowa is tight end U,
yes.
And we got tight ends all over the country, and we've got one playing for the Detroit. But we have Tristan Wirfs, so there's my balancing.
There's your out right there.
There's my all pro.
Of all the teams the Bucks used to be in the NFC Central with, the Bears, the Packers, the Lions, I love them all, because again, I've always had that. I understood the reason why people wanted to.
Well, you guys were in our division for a while.
Well, the NFC Norris division, the NFC Central.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it was not only geographic, but aren't the Rays in the AFC East a little ridiculous?
It's
the
Yankees, yeah.
The Red Sox, the Montreal, or the Toronto Maple Leafs. What is the
Montreal?
Toronto. What is it, right?
No, it's not. It's Toronto Blue Jays.
There you go.
I had to call Kevin Kiermaier to get that one.
Well, hey, you know, it's funny. I just want to throw a neat Tampa Bay little reference out here right now. This is high school. We're going to go back real quick. Cambridge Christian. Does the name Martin Gramatica ring a bell to you guys?
Of course. His voice kicking there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Nico Gramatica was there, and he's already committed to USF.
USF. He's going to USF. They did a nice piece on Channel 9 about that.
Yeah.
Hey, I interviewed Martin. Play. I did a nice piece on that, talking about.
Yeah, you did.
Because Martin's brothers went there. Martin's wife went there, played on a tennis team, and now it's a third-generational Gramatica school, and we're lucky because that kid's a solid kicker.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, how do people find you, Ray Kennedy, as we wind things down on this 2 hours down here on this side? Where do they find
you? It goes so fast, we're having a great time, but yeah, I'm on YouTube. It's Tampa Bay Ray 7683. 76 for the year the Bucks were incentive, 83 for Dave Moore, one of the best Buccaneer tight ends of all time. So it's Tampa Bay Ray 7683 on YouTube.
It's a cup of Ray, right?
And he brings it with passion. I tell you, another production I'm very impressed with these days is J.P. Peterson and of course, Peter Blake.
I'll tell you what, J.P.'s just been here forever, but Peter, he does have that great production skill. He's the producer. He knows how to run a show, and yeah, he does not. He made me look good. That says a lot.
All right. Well, we will be talking about our launch, which will be on Wednesdays. We're going to have a high school show. It'll be Brad Richardson will be hosting that. Be sure to listen to the big. It's a big Monday show, and that will be down at Sea Dogs, and that's from 6 to 8. I've got so many shows now I can't remember. And then of course the young guys on Fridays from noon to 2. So for Roddy Soccer, Jim Hart, Dave Wilson, Brad Richardson, Northside Christian Football, Eckerd Soccer, St. Pete College Volleyball. We had an army down here today. Ray Kennedy, appreciate you coming down. Ben Botham, our prayers with your grandmother. Joe Geiger, Gavin Van Dyke, Joe Bardot, Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Come on down to Ferg. We wish you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship weekend.